Bless you, saints.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, Lord, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, and it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But the Lord said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you, how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so sweet and low, says, I've moved like that before. And I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging seas? Oh, glory to God. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Didn't I put food on your table? Showed up when the bills were due. When the pain wrecked your body, I sent healing down to you. When you were lost in sin and sorrow, I died to set you free. Just so you would know how much I love you. Didn't I put food on your table? Showed up when the bells were due. When the pain wrecked your body, I sent healing down to you. When you were lost in sin and sorrow, I died to set you free. So you would know how much I loved you. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging seas? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you with your call? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we give the Lord some praise? Glory to God. Glory to God. When you were out of money, you didn't know what was going to come next. You didn't know how tomorrow would get paid for. Didn't he show up every time? Every time you were sick in your body, you go, Lord, I can't take another day of this. Did he show up then?
Sure did.
He asked for me.
hope he has for you. I know he does. Anyone that calls on his name, he will be there. Praise his holy name. I guess the Lord really wants you to know that he loves you tonight. You'll see that too when we get in this sermon tonight. Let's stand together. It's good to be home, church. It's good to see you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad he loves you?
Yes.
I know I am. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Had a good weekend, or good week, I should say, in the Lord. I got to preach Sunday down in Illinois, and the Lord really had his way with me that service. It's one of those where I started looking at my notes, and I'm like, well, here we go. I don't know where we're at now, but the Lord, he worked it all out. And I'm beginning to realize that that's when we feel like we're out of energy, that's what the Lord wants. Because out of our weakness, he is made strong.
Amen.
When we don't know what to do, that's when he can step up and say, look, son, here's how you do it. I'm just trusting him. I'm trusting him tonight as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now feel good. Feel free to say amen tonight, church. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. I want to emphasize on that more excellent name. For which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his spirits, his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. That pretty much sealed it for me, that the Son is God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? I like that last verse a lot from what Dad read this before service, and we don't compare notes either, church. Just letting you know that. Are not the angels sent to protect us who are the heirs of salvation? Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, 9, and we're going to read down to 11. Wherefore God also, hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What I'd like to preach, we're going to continue on the Hebrew series. I want to preach the greatest name. The greatest name. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. And I believe your children have come to be fed by the Word of God. And Lord, a man isn't capable of doing that, but Lord, the Holy Ghost is. And we invite you, Lord, to come. Use my lips to speak the words of life, Lord, that you would bring us closer to yourself. Lord, that you would just let all the sin, anything, iniquities, and unbelief that would try to hinder us, Lord, we cast it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Yes, believing, Lord, that you said if we would ask anything in your name, you would do it. Lord, and our greatest desire is just to know you better. It's just to be more in love with you, Father. And I pray that you would grant that to each one tonight. Lord, there's been many needs of healings and deliverances, Lord. And I pray that you meet each one, even the things that weren't spoken, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our needs, Lord. I pray that the word would come and speak to the needs of every person in this building this night, Father. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for bringing me home. Say, Father, I appreciate that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The greatest name. As we read here in Hebrews chapter 1, I just want to read out of the sermon. Brother Bram preaches this real quick so you understand where I'm going tonight, Lord willing. Hebrews chapter 1 is a sermon he preaches. It says, now the whole first chapter is exalting Jesus and separating him from being a prophet. That's the whole theme now I'll try to get it just as quick as we can so we won't stay too long. The whole theme is separating the new chapter. He says the first chapter is separating Jesus from any prophet or any law or so forth and showing who Jesus is. Now look, God, we start out the first word, God. So I want to emphasize that this whole book of Hebrews is about one person, one individual, and that is Jesus Christ. And what's the first thing he says? This man is so far above any prophet, any law, any denomination, any church. There's no one that compares to Christ. Amen. And that's what I want to speak on tonight. The greatest name. You'll figure out pretty soon here, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that same sermon, skipping down a little bit, says, what is Paul trying to do? He is trying to show that God purposed all things in Christ. And Christ was the expressed image of God. Which means, very plainly, before in the Old Testament, you would see God do things. They would call him the I Am. They'd call him Jehovah. But if you actually look up the word Jehovah, it's J-V-H-V. You tell me what that really says. They didn't have something that's concrete to say, this is who God is. They had titles. They had things that he did. He parted the Red Sea. You know, he knocked down the walls of Jericho. But what's his name? They couldn't tell you. They said, Moses said, well, he told me to say the I Am has come. So that's all he could tell them. They would say, oh, it's Yahweh. But remember, in the Jewish religion, they couldn't say Yahweh. They weren't even allowed to. They just wrote it down.
Right.
Because it was too sacred to them.
Right. Amen.
But when Christ came, he was the expressed image of who God was. So now we didn't have to see God in this vague way where, oh, there's these titles and we kind of know a little bit about him, but we don't know who he really is. Now we do.
Yes, we do.
Now I can call him by name and say, Jesus, come on the scene.
Amen.
The greatest name. He is trying to show, reading that quote again, to show that God purposed all things in Christ, and Christ was the express image of God. The entire rest of the chapter, because he reads only four, I think three or four verses in the sermon, says the entire rest of the chapter deals with how Jesus, that he was higher than angels, higher than all powers, angels worshipped him. Paul was trying to magnify him. Do you want to magnify the Lord Jesus tonight with me? That's my whole goal. If I could do one thing in life, is that people would know that Jesus Christ is alive and that he's the same and make him look big and wonderful, I will live a satisfying life. That's my only purpose down here.
Amen.
Is that people would know that Christ is alive and that he loves them and that he's worth being magnified.
Amen.
Brother Brandon McGinney says, now I want to try. If I don't get any farther than this, I say the same thing. The rest of it is just magnifying Christ.
Yes.
You can look right up here at this and it says, and he shall be called. And we could take all of these, and I plan to, but the Lord's help getting to every one of those. But you can just skip all that and sum it up right here, down here at the bottom. And he shall be called Jesus Christ. That's my advocate.
Amen.
That's my judge. That's my king. That's my savior. All wrapped up in one word.
Amen.
Jesus. The greatest name.
Amen.
You know, you can take some headache medicine to get rid of your headache, Lord willing. You can take some ibuprofen, might take away some back pain. You can take some cough syrup, get rid of your syrup. But this is something that covers all that. It's the elixir of life.
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ. Show me one thing that was given in the book of Acts that wasn't given in the name of Christ.
Right, amen.
It's the power, it's the lifeline of the church. The name of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest name that ever hit the face of the earth.
Amen.
And even Paul himself was exalting Jesus above his own name too.
Amen.
He said the same thing. He said, did I baptize any of you in the name of Paul? What are you doing? Don't do that. He said, there's only one name whereby men must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now we could just leave that, as most of the churches will do, most of the denominations, and even the message, they'll say, okay, Jesus Christ, I believe that. He's the risen Savior. He's God Almighty. He is the everlasting King. But that's not the whole picture. Who is Christ? And where is his name? You heard the song, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Where does he live? Anybody read the rest of the song? He lives in my heart. Oh, wow, wait a minute. He lives in my heart. We'll get to that in a minute. Did you know the whole family in heaven and earth is named Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Anybody know that? Well, let's turn there just in case you think I'm fibbing you. Ephesians chapter 3. Do I got this down right? Yes. Verse 14. We'll just read 15. That's fine. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There you go. Everybody that's in the family of God has the name Jesus Christ. So it's not just our Savior that has this name. He has given us this name. How did Christ get this name? It says by inheritance.
He didn't earn the name of Christ. That's just who he was. Right. And he go, we can't earn his name. We can't go get it. We can't go buy it. You must be a partaker by inheritance.
Amen.
Which means you have to have his name when you came here.
Right.
Yes. I hope you're seeing it now. I'm going slow. I'm going, making sure it's sinking in good. I don't want to rush over these things because this just thrills my heart when I think that he... You say, well, people are going to take this too far, brother. I understand that. I ain't responsible for that, though.
That's right.
You think the people that take Brother Branham's messages and run it too far and say all this stuff and polygamists and everything else that's out there now, you think Brother Branham's responsible for all that? I don't think so. Don't feel free to help me preach tonight. Now, let me go back in the Old Testament. I'm sure if I said how many times, if you've read the Bible at all, God comes around and says he did this for his name's sake. He saved them for his namesake. He delivered them for his namesake. And so many times we think, at least I used to think that, oh, it's because God, you know, he is their God, and if he doesn't save them, he's going to look bad. Do you see what I'm saying? He did it for his namesake. It's kind of like what Moses was saying to him. When he said, if you destroy these, aren't they going to say that you could bring them out, but you couldn't bring them into the promised land?
Right.
Isn't that what they're going to say? But then I begin to realize there's a little bit more to this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just trying to figure out how to lay this out real slow so you get it. Let me just read a few scriptures real quick here. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." He enjoyed people getting saved. Did you ever think of that for once? Isn't that completely contrary to what most people want to say about God? God wants everybody, oh, he's got all these strict rules, and he's saying, he's the only way? Come on, God. Can't we come up with something, you know, that appeases to our flesh, that appeases to adultery, that appeases to homosexuality, appeases to stealing and thievery and murder, and we can all still go to heaven? The problem being, God knows there's only one way. He's figured it all out. He searched the whole thing from beginning to end. And he figured out there's only one way to get back. And how did he do it? He said, I have made the way. There wasn't a way before Christ showed up. But he says, I am the way.
Amen.
It wasn't that God was saying, there ain't no other, you know, we're just pushing out these other ways that could work. They don't work. They don't work. Religion doesn't work. You take on the name of Andrew Crustle, you ain't making it.
Right.
You take on the name Message Believer, you ain't making it.
Amen.
You have to take on his name.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Reading again, still talking about Israel, Psalms 106:8 says, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." And even John, in the book of John, 1 John 2:12, John comes around and says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." So not only did God bless him for his name's sake, he forgave our sins for his name's sake, and he delivered us for his name's sake.
Amen.
And like I said, we're not, I'm trying to dissolve that separation doctrine, that God is way up here, and we're way down here, and there's nothing to connect us. That's what Calvary came to do. It bridged the way back so that man and God could be back in fellowship.
One. Amen.
I'm going to skip ahead and come back here. I feel like I forgot to put something, but that's all right. People ask, how do we get this name? Where does it come from? And as I said before, the whole family in heaven and earth has the same name, which is Jesus Christ. You ain't going to make it on any other name. But how do you know you have the name? How do you know you've received the name? That God would protect you. Does God care about his name? Yes, he does. So when he watches that, his name gets put into you. Actually, let's stop there. How does his name get put into you? Does anybody know?
Birth.
By birth.
Amen.
We know in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, all that was saved was there in Christ. They were all in him. As God let Dad quote earlier, Job 38:7, when the sons of God were shouting for joy, they were all in Christ in perfect harmony. All in the same name like we were supposed to be. But we came down here fallen, and we walked around in the things in the world. You couldn't tell no more what our name was.
Right.
Why? Because the Bible says we had to be married. We came into this world in sin. We had to marry sin. Didn't Paul say that? We came into this world. We didn't want to be. We didn't want to be, but you are. And when you marry somebody, you take their name. So when we came into this world, we couldn't be no more recognized by our real name. We came with the name, the world, instead of the Word now.
Uh-huh.
And look how close those two words even are. Word and world. There's only one letter different. That's L. And I always think that's the lie. All you got to do is put a little I in the word, and you got the world now.
Wow.
Just one letter. And you could say it. You couldn't even tell I said which one, right? Word, world. Which one? When I say which? They're that close, and that's how close it's going to be. And some people can come up and put on, it looks like the name Jesus Christ, but there's maybe an L in there somewhere. A little lie, a little sin that they think's okay. A little polygamy or something, or some of these crazy things that we talked about earlier. And that's inside their experience. Look, you've left the name now.
Amen.
God's name is only in His Word, because Him and His Word are the same. And you tell me you have the name of Christ and you don't live the Word?
Right.
Amen. You're a hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
You're a liar.
Amen.
But we're here. I hope I ain't preaching them people today. I'm here to preach to the elect, the ones that have gotten the name, the ones that realize that God took the blood and He took away the old name to reveal the name you had before you came here.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Preach this Sunday why there's a remnant, why there's only a remnant saved. And as we said earlier, sometimes people think that God's just really mean and He doesn't want a lot of people saved. And the Bible plainly declares the exact opposite. He says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Why is there a remnant then? Because people are ashamed to take Him as their husband.
Right.
They don't want Him as their husband, and God will not marry you if you're married to someone else.
Right.
He won't do that. That's what Adam's problem was. He took a woman that had been with another man and took her back. Christ won't do that now. He stood in the gap for us and took away who we were before that. But when we had sin and all those things, that's what the cross came to do. To separate you from you.
Amen. Amen.
To bring you back to the same name. But people are afraid. They don't want to marry Christ because that's the only way you can take His name. Your old husband, you can't just divorce him now. You've got to kill him.
Yes.
You're not allowed to divorce. A woman's not allowed to divorce a man. Go marry another one. She'll be called an adulteress. So you can't just live and say, oh, I'm going to marry Christ and leave this sin in your house and stay married to it now. That's not going to work. That's why you have to be sanctified before you can receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because He's a Holy Ghost, not an unholy ghost. He's a Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And people are trying to overcome sin by, oh, I'm going to stop doing this. No, you won't. You've got to recognize Christ. Take this wicked thing out of my heart.
Right.
Do you understand, you women? If you think, I wish I could cut my hair, you might as well go and do it. Because you're just as guilty as doing it. It's already there. He already knows your thoughts.
Yeah.
You need to pray, God, take this wicked desire out of me, because I know it's contrary to the Word.
Amen.
And that goes for any of us, any man, anything.
Amen.
You see a pretty woman walking by, that old thought of lust will come. I ain't going to give you no shady green pastures religion. That ain't the way it is. We are in a war.
Amen.
And Satan will attack you every chance he can get.
Sure.
That's not the time to fall over and say, well, I guess it's just the way it is. It's my thorn in the flesh. What a false religion that is.
Foolishness. Amen.
And we can sit here and debate about what Paul's thorn in the flesh is, but I know it wasn't a thorn in his spirit. It's not what he said. People use it for that kind of stuff. I just have this problem with hating everybody. It's my thorn in the flesh. What are you talking about? The Holy Ghost took that out of my heart.
Amen.
God have mercy. How do you get His name? As we just said, Lord, you got to marry Christ. That's what you have to do. Which means that old husband's got to die. And the only way he can die is that you die. Because that's who he is. It's you. That's the problem. You're in the way. You're married to your own flesh. Let's just put it that way. That old man's got to die. And people look at marriage and they think, well, oh, if I'm going to marry Christ, well, won't it be this big, beautiful wedding and just, oh, it'll be so lovely. Isn't that how a lot of people try to evangelize Christianity?
Sure.
Oh, you come in, you'll just feel so good about it. And you'll get all this, you know, God will bless you with money and prosperity. And no, that's not what the gospel, that's not the real gospel. The real gospel is, suit up, soldier.
Yeah, come on.
You thought you were fighting the devil before. When you step on the lines, gold guns on you, buddy. And guess what? When you're a new convert, you're right there. He's looking for you. Remember, the devil's a wimp. He goes after you. He don't mind hiding and shaming and cheating and doing all these things to get you. He don't care how long you've been and how long you have been in. He's trying to kill us.
Amen.
You want to know what a marriage looks like in Christianity? It ain't you walking up and saying, oh, Jesus, I'll marry you. It's you getting down here and saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how you marry Christ. You die.
Amen.
To the things of the world. You die to sin and self. You lay it down on the cross and say, God, I ain't worthy of this. I know that I'm a wretched sinner, but will you forgive me?
Amen.
You accept the blood by faith. And how do you know you accepted it? The Holy Spirit will come.
Amen.
He promised it.
Yes, he did.
If you repent and you're willing to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he will fill you.
Yes.
And if you don't get it, you didn't repent because you're a liar.
Amen.
God ain't no liar now. You're the liar.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We can read the marriage supper in the Bible where Jesus talks about it, how that he invited many. You know, he said, "Come, come, all things are ready." And they began to make excuses. "Oh, I'd come to church, Lord, but you know, I got to work. I got to put in all this extra." No, you don't. No, you don't. I understand. Sometimes a man's got to put in extra hours and things, but you know what I'm talking about? People that they're acting in unbelief is the problem.
Yeah.
If you can work overtime and miss and. I have a hard time saying it's okay to miss church. It's a hard thing for me, okay? But I just give it the benefit of the doubt that a man, you know, he needs to work a few more hours of things. You can do that in faith now. But most time it's unbelief and, oh, how are we going to make ends meet? Isn't that what we just read? What God are you serving anyhow?
Amen.
Doesn't he know what you're going through? And as we just read, he cares.
Amen.
He cares about it because his name is in you.
Right.
He has to care about his name. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't be caring about himself. And he'd be crazy. He'd be schizo. He'd be nuts. What person doesn't care about the things that help themselves?
Amen.
Now Christ will take it to where you'll put that aside for another brother now. But you still, naturally, who doesn't want to be healthy? Raise your hand. Who says, "Lord, I wish I could be sick 24/7. I don't think so, right? How many want to be depressed? "I wish I could be depressed, Lord." No, we have a natural condition that's fighting to get back to what it was.
Amen.
You see what heaven's going to be like? You have those little desires that go, "Man, Lord, I wish I could just never lust or think any of this stuff or want to steal or do any of that or covet somebody else's car." I'm just thinking of stuff, church. I ain't trying to be confessional up here. I'm just... But that's that desire. It's that name that's calling out to the name that it came from.
Amen.
Why does God care about us? Because he put his name in us.
Uh-huh.
That's why he cares. He can't help it. Remember when Brother Branham talked about Abraham and Sarah lied to God's face? He said God should have destroyed Sarah right there. But he couldn't because Abraham's life was in Sarah.
Amen.
If you could understand, why did God destroy me when I was a sinner?
Amen.
He put his life in you.
Yes.
If he destroys you, he destroys himself.
Amen.
And we deserve to be destroyed. We deserve to go to hell. But who asked God to put his seed in you? Who asked? No one of us did. That's why it's amazing grace. When you take somebody that realizes they're the Word, they ain't going to go around and go, "Oh, I can do whatever I want now. You know, God, of course he made me the Word. Of course." That ain't somebody that's really the Word. Somebody that's really the Word knows what it took to bring the Word back.
Amen.
It took a man that gave away his life. And I ain't talking just on Calvary. I'm talking from birth to death.
Amen.
He suffered the whole way for you and me.
Amen.
He should have destroyed us, even though his name was in us. But since his name was in us, he could not write this plan and allow it to happen that way. So before it even came to be, he already slew Christ on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, because his name had to come back to himself.
Amen.
It's the greatest name. Does he care about us, church? Of course he does. He cares about the sinner too. Do you understand that? God, when Christ died on the cross, the Bible says very plainly, let me read this. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world."
Sure.
People think that Christ, oh, he was, you know, now that was his goal. Now, don't let me get you wrong. He was looking toward the bride. That's what he knew would be there.
Right.
But he still paid for every sin ever committed.
Right.
Every sin. Cain's sin he paid for. Which means Cain could have accepted it. Just right now, it's serpent seed right now. They could accept it. He paid for it. But there's something in them, the life in them will not let them do it.
Right. Amen.
How happy it should be that something moves on you.
Yeah.
That when you hear the word and you feel conviction in your heart from the Lord, you don't sit there in resistance and say, "No, I'm okay, I'm right." You get down and you say, "Lord, forgive me. Bring me back to fellowship." Do you know why God hates sin? Because it separates him from his children.
Amen.
You know what God tells you about your sin? It's not to destroy you or make you feel bad. He's trying to get you back into fellowship. But he cannot cross sin.
Amen.
He cannot. God will not make himself unholy.
Right.
He did it once for us when he came down in body and flesh, took the sin of the world upon himself, died for all of it, and rose again, and made a shield of blood barrier for us. That's the one time he took it upon himself, and it was settled. The Bible said it was finished. He said he died for sins once for all.
Amen.
You must accept that. I'm just going to keep going down this line for a little bit. He cares. Do you care? When he was on earth, as I said, he cared for the people so much till he healed their sick, comforted their hearts, told them about a place where he would go and prepare for them and would come again and receive them unto himself. He cared for them. And notice, he cared so much until when he knew he must leave in order to bring this great thing to us, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit and he will continue my care for you until he returns. There's no one cares like Jesus. Knowing that his body is a high priest and a ministerial work that he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession. That God cannot see the sinner's sin. Oh, aren't you grateful? Hallelujah. He sees only the blood of his own son. And knowing that, he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to comfort his people.
Amen.
So even though he's up there, even though he's already paid for it, we're dull of hearing. We're dull of mind. We need to be reminded all the time. But that's why he sent the Holy Ghost to come down and keep comforting us. Say, no, you're one of mine, church. You're one of mine. You're one of mine, son. You're one of mine, daughter.
Amen.
I'm so glad to have the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I can't think of how I lived one day without it before.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how people go, and I understand why people would commit suicide and go crazy after I try to think of what it was like to live without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You don't know what to do. You don't know what's coming. You don't know. I would fear everything. I would. What good reason would you have not to? But when you can recognize the Almighty God before the foundation of the world decided to pick me and put me in his name.
Amen.
Who cares if there's a tornado going to come or fire going to come by my house?
Right.
It has nothing to do with me. God might send judgment to this whole world, but he's not going to judge himself.
Right, amen.
He did it once already on the cross.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He took all the judgment upon himself, and he judged him faithful.
Yes.
He judged him holy. He judged him righteous. It was worth all the sins of the world.
Yes, Lord.
Does he care? Certainly he cares. Now he has to continue. Now he was to continue to care for his people here on earth, in the same manner that he cared for them when he was here. Can you believe that tonight? That God cares about you just as much as he did the woman at the well. That he would go all the way out of his way, tell his disciples, don't even worry about it, I got this one, buddy. They even came around and said, why are you talking to this ill-famed woman? They didn't understand it was all about.
Amen.
He knew what kind of reproach he'd probably get for doing this, but he cared too much to not go after him.
Amen.
You don't think God knew about every little sin he did and would do? And how we marred his name with our mistakes, aren't you? I know I hate when I make a mistake now.
Yes.
Before it was different. You know, that was just me. I'm stupid. Whatever. But now I know I reflect on him. And when I think people look at me and some of the stupid things I do, and they go, oh, that is that what a Christian should do?
Right.
You know what? The best thing to do is just be a man about it and come up and say, no, that's not what Christ would have done. I'm sorry. Do you know that the bride is the only one that can't ever get a revelation they're even lost in the first place?
That's true.
Aren't you grateful that you realize one day, I'm lost. I need saved. Because people might say that too. They're like, oh yeah, I'm going to hell. You know, all my buddies are down there. But they don't got no revelation. They're really going there. If they had a revelation, they'd go, God have mercy. How do I get out of this? Because people don't, they think hell is going to be, oh, you know, I might be a little bad, a little uncomfortable, but, you know, we'll probably still be able to booze it up and have an all right time. No, you won't. No, you won't. Anybody heard any kind of accounts about going to hell? Even in the Bible, it talks about the rich young ruler going down there. He said he was so hot, he wanted one little drip of water to just touch his tongue. That was it. He didn't even ask for a glass of water. And people think, oh, yeah, I'm lost and going to hell, you know, whatever. You know, you don't have a revelation yet. But a man that gets a revelation, he's lost. We'll find Calvary.
Amen.
Because only the bride can realize it. She's the only one that can go, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't. I don't have any merit to bring before God. And God gives us the revelation that we're lost, not that we would stay lost, but that we would come back.
Amen.
Aren't you so grateful that everything God does to us is for us?
Amen.
Everything. All things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Does Jesus care? Of course he does. Even Isaiah 53, we think of that scripture a lot of times. Do you know how many times it talks about negative things that Christ had to go through? He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded, bruised, chastised, oppressed, afflicted, as a lamb for the slaughter, from prison, from judgment, stricken. Think of all these things he went through. And we think, well, why did he go all through that? For us! Christ don't care about us. What are you talking about? Of course he does. He doesn't want to see any of us lost.
Amen.
Now that we know he cares, I always want to turn around and go, well, do you care? Brother Branham actually preaches a whole sermon about that. He says he cares. He died for the sinner. He died for every soul that's ever get on the face of the earth. He died for them all. The problem is that people don't care enough to even recognize, should I accept this? Should I even come to Christ? Does it even matter? Can I live any way I want to and still make it? They don't take the thought long enough to go, do I really care about what Christ did?
Amen.
If you're afraid of what people are going to say about you when you start serving God, it's time to find the altar. I doubt you've received the Holy Ghost yet. The Holy Ghost, the first thing it does is make a man bold.
Amen.
Makes him realize, no. You hear any kind of slant on God's word, they can go ahead, that's fine, but you ain't toting that line.
Nope.
We've got one line. The Holy Ghost always drives us back to the Word, always drives us back to the name of Jesus Christ. Why do you think baptism had to be restored in this day? Because there was nothing for us to call upon when you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That doesn't include me. I'm not the Father of the universe. I'm not the Son. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But when he says Jesus Christ, I recognize I'm a part of that name.
Amen.
That name is within me. The whole family is named that. That when that name was restored and you heard I should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that name called upon your name, and that's why you went and did it. God restoring who he was back to us.
Amen.
And to such an extent, look, church, I wish I could just explain it the way I see it sometimes. God wants to have his name exalted. Do you believe that?
Amen.
In order for him to exalt his name, he must exalt you.
Right.
Because you're part of his name. Why did he go to the cross and die for you? To exalt his name. Why did he save them? To exalt his name up. When he looked at the children of Israel and they were going wayward, it wasn't because his name was over here. It's because his name was within them. He was in Moses. He was in David. The Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in the human heart.
Amen.
That's where his name is.
Amen.
And it's always been that way. God allowed types and shadows. And he did dwell in the cherubims, between the cherubims and the Ark of the Covenant. But by predestination, he was in every son of God since the foundation of the world.
Right. Amen.
His seed was in there. And that tied us into his name. So when you think of all the wonderful things he is, everything he is, I am.
Amen.
He exalted his name so high that every name will bow to that name. Now, I don't believe in us taking any kind of worship now. Don't you go around and saying some crazy thing like that. No, sir. Any true son or daughter of God will point you right to Christ every time. Worship him.
Amen.
What did the angel say in Revelations, I believe, 19th chapter? Said, John fell down to worship him now. Look, don't get on some person just because they worship an angel. You know, we want to kick them out and say they're done for, don't we? Oh, but you're worshiping Brother Branham. You're doing this. Well, they might, but look, let God work on it.
Right.
Because John did it himself. He fell down. He said, I fell down to worship him. And he said, don't do it. He said, I'm of your brother than prophets.
Right.
Worship God.
Amen.
And any true servant of God will say that. What did Paul say? They said, they glorified God in me. People might think, oh, he's boasting himself. No, he's not. He recognized God is within me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a part of God. And that's what these people are saying. And they're glorifying God because they see it. What do you think was healing the sick? What do you think was casting out devils? What do you think does it now? Is recognizing that God is within you.
Amen.
What do you think stopped this storm? I know you might think this is crazy. You might not believe this, but I was riding my bike. This was supposed to show up a long time ago. From what I heard on the news and things, it was supposed to show up. And I was riding my bike at probably 10 o'clock this morning. I felt a little drizzle. It said, storm, I want to ride dry. Get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. It says, whatever things you desire, ask. He'll do it. Didn't rain. I actually got hot. I barely made it the whole time. I wanted to ride my bike. I was trying to finish the sermon. I almost pulled through in the towel. And even now, I just thank God for blessings that we didn't have to walk in here in a tsunami or something. You know, we came in here nice and clean and dry. Why? Why? I know the master of the wind.
Amen.
I know the maker of the rain.
Amen.
He can calm the storm. Make the sun shine again. Hallelujah. How many want the, yeah, we appreciate that, but how many want all the natural, all the spiritual clouds and all the doubts and all the frustrations we like to have, just have that all washed away and see the Son of God shining so brightly and recognize that he loves us with the love that he said he did, which is completely, totally unconditional.
Yes. Amen.
Totally.
Totally. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Love you.
Christ, mystery of God revealed. Get the revelation, brother. This generation's spurning God's revelation. See, false prophets are doing that. By their fruits you shall know them. They're hybrid. They're bred into an organization instead of the Word of God. The revelation of God revealing himself through Christ, who is the Word. Notice that predestinated seed. The Holy Ghost alone shows you who he is. No prophets, no kings, and here God manifested. Let me say that, make sure you understood me. And here, God is manifested in flesh.
Amen.
Christ wasn't standing there in church in his physical body. That's on the right hand of the Father. But Christ was in his people. And he was in his prophet. I don't believe it's right to worship Brother Branham, but I understand why people would. They saw God in him. But see, that's how Satan will do it. He'll twist you just enough just to take you right off the word and make you do something antichrist.
Amen.
Worshiping a man like that. That's wrong. But they saw God in him. How much more closer should we be living to God? People should recognize you're a Christian. You shouldn't have to go around saying it. The Bible says they called them Christians in Antioch. It doesn't say they went around saying we are Christians.
Right. Amen.
Got their, you know, little cross here, eagle belt buckle. A couple message books under their arm. They don't read them, but they got them. You don't need to be doing that. That's why anymore I don't try, and I hope this sounds all right, I don't try to go out there and put things on. I just live my life for God. Amen. And I know there's times I miss it. There's times where I think, you know, maybe I should go talk to them about the Lord, and I haven't done it every time, okay? I'm not infallible. But that's how I've learned to live my life, and people will respect that. They will recognize you're different.
Amen.
Look, just stop cussing for a while. Sure. People recognize there's something weird about you. You guys don't talk about drink, beer, women, and sports. Give it a day. Don't talk about those. They'll go, something weird about you. Because that's all they talk about. That's all that even exists anymore, isn't it? You sisters, you have to talk to yourselves about what you talk about, because I don't know. Probably clothes and babies. That's all I ever hear over there. And I go in the other room. But God wants his name exalted. And like I said, it's not that he's puffing up, remember, because whoever humbles himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
So as the more God uses you, the more he blesses you. Just as I said that before, yes, God honor my faith, but I'm not going to walk around and say that. I'm something special. You could have done the very same thing. It's just faith. That's all it is. It's not a big workup. It's not a bunch of work or I want to say works. It's not trying to fulfill the law. It's just accepting what Christ did. It's accepting who you are.
Amen.
I am who he said I am.
Yes, I am.
That's how I move in Christ. That's how I've had faith like I've never had before. Because I am not trying to earn it.
Amen.
I just accept it.
Yes.
He said, lay your hands on the sick, they will recover.
They have.
All right? You do it, it'll start happening. Amen. It happens so simple, you'll think, it's just coincidence. Because Satan's right there to come around and say, no, it's just coincidence. No, it wasn't. Why did they get well right then?
Amen.
Why did things start looking better from that moment? There ain't no coincidence about it. God is faithful to his word.
Yes, he is
faithful to his name, and it's the greatest name that's ever hit the face of the earth.
Amen.
Recognize that you're part of it. Recognize that it, for God to be manifested in flesh, he's looking to manifest himself in your flesh.
Amen.
Not your brother, not your sister. Every individual person in the body of Christ has a function to do in the body of Christ.
That's right.
I've read a few of these before, but I want to go this way a little bit again. Hebrews 10:15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So what is God doing? Why did God come by and fill you with the Holy Spirit? To show you who you were. Because before that, even though you're still a son of God, everybody believe that you are a son of God from the foundation word,
yes,
or you weren't.
Right.
That's it. You either are or you're not.
That's right.
None of you can ask to be the son of James Crussell. You're not the son of James Crussell. You couldn't work your way up into it. You couldn't try to bribe him for it. It's not going to work. You just aren't that. Well, why did God come to give us the Holy Ghost? That's why he paid for the price for sin. We had this sin barrier around us. He came, paid the price, destroyed the barrier. There had to be something behind it. What was behind that barrier of sin? God's name.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. And he fills you with the Holy Ghost to quicken that. And then you can even look at you and go, something happened. I'm not what I used to be. Because we're forgiveful hearers a lot of times. And then you start watching, you know, this. I'm acting like Christ would here.
Amen.
That's not what I would do, but it's what I'm doing. What did Paul say? The things that I would, I do not. The things that I wouldn't, that I do. He knew who I was. The I is the real man on the inside. Not the flesh, not the outside. That's not the real us. That's the man that we have divorced and killed.
Amen.
Those have come into Christ. We have the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. 1 John 5:10, he that believes on the Son of God, how many believe on the Son of God?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Says that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself.
Uh-huh.
So you don't got to go find, oh, how people going to know I'm a Christian? What do I got to do? Just let the Holy Ghost live out of you. You have the witness within you. Amen. He literally lives within us, church.
Amen.
We have to believe that before we can go any further with God.
Right.
As long as you think you're trying to do things for God, you'll never do anything right. But if you recognize, I have accepted the blood of Christ. God has come and filled me with His Spirit. He has made me identify with His name, which is my real name, Jesus Christ. I'm a part of that. The bride of Christ's name is Christ.
Amen.
Then I can move forward in faith without any wavering, without being worried, without a care in the world. He took all our cares, church. He said, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So every time a care comes up, just keep giving it to Him. How do you give it to Christ? In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And recognize that you're a part of it. Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I know I keep striking this, but I'm making sure it's hitting home. I just want to throw this in real quick. I want to show you what God does. Revelation chapter 3. I'll wrap up here soon. Are you seeing it?
Uh-huh.
Amen. It's the greatest name. Revelation 3, we'll start at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things seeth he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Did you catch that? Keeping his word and not denying his name are the self same thing. For you to stand for the word of God, you're standing for the name of Jesus Christ, the name that we are all saved by.
Amen.
To reject one is to reject the other and vice versa.
Sure.
Now watch this. I hope you get this. Behold, I, Jesus Christ Himself, will make them of the sin of God as Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come to, what does that say?
Yes.
And worship before thy feet. I don't want to say this. Not worship His feet. Worship His feet.
Amen.
Are we not the body of Christ? Do you see where we're going to be sitting? Do you understand that this is the greatest thing that could have ever happened?
Amen.
For us? For God to give us His name?
Right.
Do you know where that puts you? It doesn't put you around the throne. It puts you in the throne.
Amen.
Why are we scared of the devil?
Uh-uh.
He's a little squirm. Look what he just said. He said, I will make them, which say they're of the synagogue, or say they're Jews and are not, the synagogue of Satan, I will make them come and worship you. Hey, I just read it to you now, church. I ain't trying to make this deep. That's what he said. That's Jesus' own word. Why? Because if they worship the God in us the same as they did in Christ, it's all the same God. There's not two, there's not three gods, there's not four, there's not a million. There's one God.
Yes.
And that God reproduced Himself in us. How blessed we are to be called the children of God.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
And how can you be His son and not have His name? How can that be possible? It's not. The greatest name that's here on earth, look, you're a part of it. They look at these celebrities and they want to worship them and say they're all great. Do you know they'll all bow their knees to Christ? He said, we should have accepted Him. He is Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
You find the most staunch atheist in the world, and resurrection morning shows up, they will bow down and realize they should have accepted Christ. And they say, He is Lord.
Amen.
Satan himself will squirm like a little worm and know that he has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And if we are part of that name, just wait for it, church. Don't worry about the devil picking on you all the time. One of these days, you'll be watching him bow down and squirm for mercy.
Uh-huh.
Devil's going to get whooped by a woman.
Yes.
The bride of Christ. And we got the down payment right now, church. Look, don't let Satan run over your life. Don't let him give you this sickness. You just come back in the name of Jesus Christ. Recognize, I'm identified with it. I'm identified with it. It's not his name out here. It's his name right here.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm trying to get rid of now, church? That we've, at least I have, I've walked that way. Oh, in the name of Jesus, you know, we just say these things and make it kind of cliche. That's not the truth of it. The truth of it is when you say, in the name, that's who you are.
Amen.
And you're literally using the authority given to you by God Almighty.
Amen.
To tell the devil to get out.
Amen.
Wow. Yes.
Hallelujah. His name is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. All these names that we could read right up here, you could look at Yahweh, Yeshua, and everything all the way down. They will all point you right to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the greatest name that's ever hit the world, and how blessed we are to be a part of that name. It's never a group thing. God did not call us to be part. He didn't just, just whoever will come to this church will get the name of Christ. No, you only get the name of Christ one way. That's to marry Christ. We've already went through that. You have to die. Have to die to yourself, die to your old husband, and marry him. How many wants to renew your vows?
Yes.
With Christ tonight. Let's stand together. We'll try to get to the second chapter maybe next week, Lord willing. Let's bow our heads together. Look, church, I could pray for you if you need it. If you want to come forward and pray for it, that's fine. We believe in those things. We believe on laying on the hands. If you can identify that God has already paid for all of your needs, and you want to lift that need to the Lord right now, if Satan's trying to do anything against you, church, look, you don't have to accept any of that. Recognize that you're a part of Christ. He's a part of you. He loves you so much that He took all of our sins, far from the east, from the west, paid for every single thing we would ever need. If you have any of those needs, you pray in your own way. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for showing us these things in this last day, Father. The denominations took this away from the church. They tried to make you into just some organization or just some works or mental workup. But Father, you are a person. And we're so glad, Lord Jesus, to know your name, that we could talk to you, Father, and that you talk back to us. Lord, how wonderful it is to be a son or daughter of God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us, Lord. If there be any other needs on our hearts, Lord, even things we don't know, Father, I pray you'd reveal it to us, Lord, so we wouldn't let the devil get the glory anymore. But, Father, we would use the name you gave us, Lord, and bring glory unto it, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. We commit ourselves to you. We commit the people into your hands, Lord. Be glorified in our lives, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. 129, Key of C. We'll give the glory to Jesus. How many want to give the glory to the name of Jesus tonight? Hallelujah.
We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His love and tell of His love. We'll give give Him praise. We'll give.